Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to study the theme, Making Friends for God. The joy of sharing in his mission. Lesson 13, A Step in Faith. Our memory text, Let This Mind Be in You, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 7. Jesus' self-sacrificing love. Being the King of the universe and becoming a human being here on earth, a baby. This is such a tremendous gap we cannot imagine because we do not know his glory. Would you be willing to reduce your standard of living? For example, that there is no warm water in your house. So when you go to your shower, it is cold. Have you ever had a shower only with ice-cold water? I know what it means. I had it once on a hut in the Alps. Oh, I will never forget this experience. It was only for 1 minute. But I thought I would die. It's so short. And you can imagine how quick I was. But really, only cold water, no warm part of it. Would you be willing to say, okay, from now on, only cold water under the shower? What's the problem? If you are not forced to, would you do it voluntarily? This means going downwards. And Jesus is the King of the universe. Of the universe. Flying from planet to planet, from galaxy to galaxy in no time. No death, never diet, never any pain, only power, power all the time. And then becoming a human being, walking on foot. On dirty roads in Israel, full of dust, sweat. Blood, sweat, and tears. That was the change he experienced. And in the end, you are undressed. You are whipped. Not once. 40 times less one. In the end, no more skin is on your back. This is a pain you can't imagine. And then being crucified. And you do it voluntarily. This is Jesus showing you, see, behold, this I've done for you so that you can understand that I love you. This is Jesus' message. He did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. This is Jesus, our Savior. Commitments call. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. Casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Matthew 4, verses 18 to 20. Straightway left their nets. They had heard Jesus speak before. And they had heard him and went fishing. They had heard him and went fishing. And then one day they heard, fish for men. And they left everything. So there's a development in their relationship to Jesus. Closer, closer, closest. Another story told by Matthew. Now it's about himself. Matthew 9, verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, and this was Capernaum on the northern shore, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Leaving a fisher net, that's not easy to do. But leaving a tax collector's shop, custom shop, this means high income, and then following Jesus, no income at all. Matthew heard Jesus before, and there was a desire in his heart, but he thought, I, as a person sitting at the customs, forget about it. Working together with the Romans. Never ever will a prophet call me into his inner circle. Never. And then, follow me. And he followed. He arose and followed him. But what does he do then? He arranges a farewell party and invites all his colleagues. And hey, all of them, they come. They've heard, Matthew has quit his job. Oh no, that can't be. Is he crazy? So much money, just to leave. What is he going to do now? Following Jesus. Come. Farewell party. And they all were there. Can you imagine? They were there. They wanted to see Jesus. How is this person who is able to fetch Matthew from the receipt of customs? That's impossible. How can it be? So they were so curious. And there they were. And watched Jesus and heard him. Heard him speaking. And when Jesus was crucified and risen from the dead, and when these colleagues of Matthew heard Peter preach at Pentecost in different languages, then many of this farewell party, many of them, were baptized. baptized this very day. They were among the 3,000 on the first day of baptism of the new Christian church. Commitments call. Commitments call. Paul, God's chosen vessel. He was on his way, Saul, from Jerusalem up to Damascus. Imagine. More than 100 miles. And he wanted to surprise the Christians there. They had fled from Jerusalem and had thought, when I'm abroad in a foreign country, in Syria, in Damascus, there I am safe as a Christian. Jerusalem is far away. And Paul, in those days, Saul, thought, they think they are safe, but I will come and catch them there and take them to Jerusalem. And they are arrested and maybe killed. He was a person who wanted to surprise Christians, take them by surprise. And then he was taken by surprise. Acts 9, verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth because of this light, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest you me? Why do you persecute me? Why? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. And a man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He was blind. They led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. He was shocked. He had thought, I work for God when I arrest these Christians. And now Jesus asks him, why do you persecute me? Why? This was a shock for the young Saul. A shock. He was a diligent worker against the Christians before, and then became a diligent worker for Jesus. It is something which is unbelievable. Such a change. Changing the direction completely. And this Saul heard the message he should bring light to heathen people. To heathen people. Paul tried to win Jews, and God said to him, forget it. I will send you far away. There you will have success. And so it happened. The demands of love. We are at the Lake of Galilee. It's early in the morning. Peter and his colleagues, they went out fishing again. They are in their old habits. Jesus Christ, crucified, but then risen from the dead. And then, early in the morning, when they approach the shore with the boat, they see someone at the shore. Fire with coals. And then somebody shouts, anything for eating with you? The net is empty. Ah. Throw it on the right side of the boat. They do, as told. And when they try, they're too weak to lift it. Afterwards, they count the big fish in there. 153 fish. Big fish. Never before and never after. Such an amount of fish. And the first one who understands what's going on here whispers into Peter's ear, it's the Lord! Blech! You hear the water splash. Peter is in the water. He is the first. He wants to be the first on the shore. Really, there's Jesus. Sitting near the fire. Fish already there. And then Peter is asked. He hears a question. Simon, son of Jonas, after they had dined together, love you me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lamb, my sheep. And then the third time. And then Peter became sad. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Can you say the same when Jesus asks you, do you love me? Can you answer this in this way? Lord, you know that I love you. Then you're in the right mood. This is called assurance of salvation, when you know it, that you love him and that you want to do his will. Not that he is willing to save you. He's already willing to do that. But because of his love, you want to love him because you have experienced this love. And this was something so astonishing because Peter is the one who denied his Lord for three times in the inner court of the high priest's palace. three times, "I do not know this person, Jesus. I've never been with him." Three times. So when we have a look at both reports, being afraid to be killed, and then you know that I love you. What a difference. Now he's converted. That's the difference. Love's commitment. We are at the Lake of Galilee. Jesus has asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And now, in verse 18 in John 21, we read, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked whither you would, but when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird you and carry you where you would not." This spoke he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, "Follow me." Are you still willing to follow me? Really? Even if you are girded by someone else and sent into a direction you do not want to go to? You will be crucified, Peter. And then Peter, turning about, sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following. And seeing him follow, he said, "Lord, what shall this man do?" That's interesting. He is asked something. He has to be taken by the nose. From time to time, when I talk to people about Jesus, and then we are at the point of a decision, and I ask, now you know, what about you? And then, normally, I hear the following question. What about people on this planet who have never heard anything about Jesus? How can they be saved? Changing of the theme. And then we go back and I ask, I know someone who knows. Now, what Jesus wants. That's you. And the question is, what about you? You are informed. You do not belong to those who have never been informed. You are informed now. What about your decision, yes or no? Don't flee before you decide. And then when you have decided, then we can go on answering the question, what will be with those who have never heard anything? And here it is the same. Are you willing to be crucified? Follow me. What about John? Interesting, isn't it? And then Jesus says, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow you me. And that's the point. It's important that you make your decision. And once you have made your decision, then we can go on discussing other themes and theories and whatever. But first, make things first. You are asked, are you willing to do my will? And you can only do this if you have experienced the love of Jesus. When you have seen his love, what he was willing to give up in the universe as king of the universe. He was not just willing to leave warm water under the shower, when we remember this example from before. When you have two cars in your home, are you willing to give away one? We are used to a standard of living. When you have been used to live in a big house, do you want to go into a hut? We like it to climb higher and higher, but do we like it to climb down again? Yeah, if you are forced to, you have no chance. But voluntarily, are you willing to? Voluntarily? This is the point. Jesus did it. Summary. Here we have a piece of art by Maximilian Janča. Universe. What a sight. I like it during the summer, sleeping in open air. Looking up to the stars, thousands of yellow points up there. This is television, far away, real television. And then I look up and look and watch and see, oh God, you're the king of this universe. I don't know how far away this is. I've learned it at university as a teacher for geography, but I can't imagine. These dimensions, these distance, galaxies, systems of suns with planets revolving around a sun, like our sun system. Oh, great. And that is the universe. And Jesus was willing to leave this. Do you know what it means to be king of the universe? We do not know. We only know he can go from galaxy to galaxy in no time. There is no time limit, no distance limit. It's just when you want to be there, and you are there. Then you land on a planet, millions, billions of planets. Billions. And when you are never tired, when you are never exhausted, when you need no sleep, when you never experience pain, this is what we will experience in future. In future. And Jesus was willing to leave this standard of living, becoming a human. If you were willing, voluntarily, to become an ant crawling around on 6 feet, would you be willing to do so? This would be humbling yourself, wouldn't it? But as a human, becoming an ant is not such a humbling of yourself as being king of the universe and becoming here on this planet a human being. That's even greater in humbling yourself. What is an ant in comparison to a human being? It crawls around there. How far can it get? We can get into an aeroplane, fly thousands of miles away. And Jesus, he could fly through the universe, but only thousands of miles. That's nothing. Through the universe. Are we able to understand this? Through the universe. So when we remember Jesus coming down on this planet, then we understand that he loves us, but that he was willing then to be undressed, whipped, and crucified. And he could have run away, fly away. He could have called all his angels, and they would have smashed all these soldiers and kings and so on to pieces. He had the power. He could have done so. But he did it for you, because he loves you. What about you? Will you follow him out of love? Amen.